I would like to draw your attention to the image up on the screen here. It's something I found on the internet, but it's an ivory sculpture, which is approximately 1600 years old. It comes from a workshop in Rome, which may have produced art both for pagans and also for Christians. Physically, it's very small. It's only a couple of inches wide. The action in this image flows upward. It starts in the bottom right with the three women heading towards the tomb of Jesus, where Jesus is buried, which is the sculptural round building there, and find it, the angel in front of it, guarding the door, and two soldiers who are lamenting because their ward is gone free. And then from there it continues to flow upward, where Jesus is standing on the Mount of Olives with two disciples, well, one disciple watching and one cowering in fear or something, as he gets a hand upward into heaven. And the hand is meant to represent God himself and is an image which predates Christianity. It stands for the power of God. The story in this image invites us to experience for ourselves the surprise and joy that Mary and the other disciples felt when they discovered Jesus risen and came to understand the implications of the scriptures. Jesus called both of us and them to be witnesses, saying, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. Now go proclaim repentance and forgiveness to all nations." If you could join me by reading the call to worship printed on the front page of the bulletin. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy.
How majestic is the Lord Most High. How mighty is the great sovereign over all the earth.
Sing praise to God. Sing psalms in God's honor.
God reigns over the nations. God is exalted over all.
Praise the Lord, all people. Praise God's everlasting name.
Hymnal number 537, En medio de la vida. We'll sing the verses in English. The refrain in Spanish is this way: O Dios de cielo y tierra, te sirvo desde aquí. Te amo en mis hermanos, te adoro en la creación. So, verses in English, refrain in Spanish, if you're able.
De cielo y tierra.
Let us sing together, We See the Lord. There's a bulletin insert for We See the Lord.
The scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 44 through 53. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to the understanding of the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised, so stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high."
Lucas, capítulo 24, versículos 44 a 53. Luego les dijo: Lo que ha pasado conmigo es lo mismo que les anuncié cuando aún estaba con ustedes, que era necesario que se cumpliera todo lo que está escrito acerca de mí en la ley de Moisés, en los profetas y en los salmos. Entonces les abrió el entendimiento para que pudieran comprender las escrituras y les dijo: Así está escrito, y así era necesario que el Cristo padeciera y resucitara de los muertos al tercer día, y que en su nombre se predicara el arrepentimiento y el perdón de pecados en todas las naciones, comenzando por Jerusalén. De esto ustedes son testigos. Y yo voy a enviar sobre ustedes la promesa de mi Padre. Pero ustedes, quédense en la ciudad de Jerusalén hasta que desde lo alto sean embestidos de poder.
Then he led them as far out as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God.
Luego los llevó de ahí a Betania, y levantando sus manos los bendijo. Pero sucedió que mientras los bendecía, se apartó de ellos y fue llevado a las alturas del cielo. Ellos lo adoraron y después volvieron muy felices a Jerusalén. Y siempre estaban en el templo, alabando y bendiciendo a Dios.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Palabra del Señor.
This morning we are grateful for Pastor Carolyn, who's bringing us a sermon. And as we've heard, it's called There is no such thing as other people's children. Let's pray for her and ourselves. Gracious God, you have planted a message in Carolyn. May our hearts and minds be free to receive what you have for us here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
We live in the time of now and not yet. On any given day, we can open the newspaper or go online and see the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. Yesterday, I read how Syrian refugees who were resettled in Canada just a short time ago are now among the most generous givers of possessions and money to victims of the wildfire in Alberta. That is God's shalom. But turn the page or click another link and we find evidence of brokenness. Children in Flint, Michigan, who can't do what I did. They can't take a drink of their tap water, or they can't bathe in it because it blisters their skin. Children in Washington Gardens who can't play outside for fear of gunfire. Children we know who will go hungry this summer when school is out. We know that peace does not reign everywhere, not yet. This is not unlike the time between Ascension and Pentecost. At the very end of Luke's Gospel, which is what we read today, the apostles have been told what will happen, But the Spirit has not yet been poured out. Jesus opens the apostles' minds to understand the scriptures, and he blesses them, and then he goes ahead of them to the Father. The apostles are not to join Jesus just yet. They have work to do first. Jesus tells them, stay here in the city, and that what he has taught them is to be proclaimed to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Jesus' followers will begin sharing the good news right where they are. Followers of Jesus, Elkhart is our Jerusalem. More specifically, Prairie Street Mennonite Church is our Jerusalem. You can tell a lot about church, any church, by looking at how space in its building is allocated. Prairie Street has always placed a priority on education. I found a little church history booklet from the mid-20th century referring to 32 Sunday school classrooms that were filled up every week. This building is a legacy that's entrusted to us by previous generations, and we share our space with many groups seeking the peace of our city. Children learn to love music here. If you have ever been here when Tracy is teaching music together, you can hear it all throughout the building, even though they're just in the fellowship hall. I mean, we rattle. They're having a good time. Speakers of other languages learn English here. People learn community organizing, restorative justice, parenting strategies within our walls. Next month, we're going to host a parenting class in Spanish sponsored by CAPS. Adults have several different opportunities for faith formation each week after worship, ranging from discipleship to scripture study, sermon response to creation care. That hour always gives me the feeling that the kingdom of God is present here in so many ways. People are engaged with the scriptures. They relate to each other. They are excited. This is the now part of our story. We also have a not yet aspect of Prairie Street church life. At some point in the life of this church, it became acceptable not to pay much attention to the faith formation of children. I don't mean that nobody has been willing to teach children and youth. There have been a few people who have shouldered a great deal of responsibility, sometimes for years, with very few people noticing. But as a congregation, as a whole, for a good 10 to 20 years, we've not seen sharing the gospel personally with children as part of our core mission or identity. It's almost like we gave ourselves permission to be bad at that and just put it over on the shelf. That is nuts. It goes against everything I know about how Jesus related to children and how the body of Christ is supposed to function. We all know that the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I don't need you. We adults can't say to children, we don't need to worry about your faith formation. You're not part of the body. That is the complete opposite of let the children come to me. If we do not treat children as equals to adults in terms of making Christian education available, we are hindering children's relationship to Christ. And that is a cry and shame. because Jesus tells us the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Jesus says, don't stop them. But we say, I'm not a teacher. I wouldn't know how to do that. Or been there, done that. We're happy to write a check for a good cause or provide hygiene kits or school supplies for far away children. But as a congregation, we have been reluctant to disciple the children who come to church here. Now and not yet. I don't really know how or why sharing Christ with children became peripheral instead of central to life at Prairie Street. I have asked around. I've heard from longtime members that there was a disagreement of some sort in the 1980s, and a number of young families left the church at that time all at once. And maybe having fewer children in our midst lessened that feeling of urgency. Perhaps the parents who had taken the lead in Sunday school teaching moved on to other roles when their own children were grown. Families move around more than in previous generations. We may not be well acquainted with the children God calls here. You know, none of you knew any of my kids when they were Nathaniel's age or Johann's age, when they were infants. Sometimes the children here don't seem like, well, they're not our children or our nieces and nephews or our grandkids. They're other people's children. And there is distance between us and other people's children, emotional and geographical. We're simply less engaged. That's just how it is. Someone has to tell us their story to make it real to us. As print and multimedia journalists have done for the lead poison children of Flint, and international aid agencies and journalists have done for the Syrian refugees. Then we feel connected when we see, oh, that family is like mine. That child is the age of my neighbor. That's, you know, then we care. And you know the awesome thing about children at Prairie Street? These little first-person journalists are coming here. They show up here every week, and they want to tell you their stories. You don't even need the internet. You don't need a credit card or a smartphone. When other people's children become real to us, God softens our hearts toward them. And I almost feel like that's physical. You know what it feels like when you see someone you love. Now, of course we want children in Flint to have safe, clean water to wash in and to drink. And you'll have a chance to put those words into action later this morning. Of course we want refugee families to have shelter from the elements and food to eat. Of course we care about the spiritual nurture of our children at Prairie Street. Because there is no such thing as other people's children in the world or in Christ. Every human being is created in the image and likeness of God. And every child who comes through our doors deserves to know Jesus. They deserve to have love from us, because none of us have ever done anything to deserve God's love. It's just God's gift to us. All of us were once far off before we were given a spirit of adoption in Christ. The warmth and enfolding in community, the things that keep us coming back here to the church, are the embodiment, the incarnation of God's love. And they are the gift we have to offer children. God calls children to the fertile soil of Prairie Street and plants them here like little seeds. The way that the children of Flint thirst for clean water, our children thirst for God's word. And you can do something about it. The way that seeds need water to grow, our children need the living water that Jesus gives. You have that water. You have experienced Christ's saving love. That is enough. God will equip you, just as God equipped, just as Jesus equipped the disciples to share the good news and promised to send the Spirit to clothe them with power. I want to close with a prayer from Ephesians. It's adapted from the lectionary for Ascension Day. From Carolyn, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Elkhart at Prairie Street Mennonite Church and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. Indeed, each time I ride my bicycle, I ask God to shoulder tap 10 of you to join me in teaching our children to love God's word and to know our Lord Jesus. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for all who believe. Peace be to your whole community and love with faith from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Turn in your hymnal to number 401. This little light of mine. Let's stand to sing, those who are able.
Please stand to receive this benediction. Beloved friends, may you go out from here in the power of the Holy Spirit to live as children of God, to follow our Lord Jesus Christ, who is changing us and changing our world. Amen. Thank you.